Hey, Arizona, Guy Pitta here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
Welcome to On the Menu Live,
the most delicious hour on radio and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk.
And now, broadcasting live from another happy hour on 104.1 KQTH,
here's your host, Matt Russell.
Hey, fellow foodies, welcome to another delicious Saturday afternoon. And when we say delicious, that is manifest as authentically as it can possibly be. Fellow foodies, we are dedicating this entire hour to the craft cocktail culture right here in Southern Arizona, an entire hour dedicated to beverages. We are broadcasting live from a place that takes its cocktails seriously. And look at that. What a coincidence. It's happy hour. So come on downtown and join us now for the broadcast. We are broadcasting live from Oban on the corner of 4th and Congress for this cocktail show. Happy hour runs all the way up until 6 o'clock. We got great happy hour specials on sushi rolls and steam buns and everything that Chef Paulo M can get his hands on. And there's a lot of shaking going on behind the bar. So come on down to Oban, join the party. Things are getting underway. We got Second Saturdays here. Oban is the destination for the most delicious hour on radio. Now, speaking of delicious, and I'm always looking for the segue, you know, as we say each and every week, we always take these decisions about celebrity co-hosts very seriously. These are intentional decisions. And when you're doing a show dedicated to the craft of cocktail, you cannot do that subject justice without bringing on our celebrity co-host for the full hour. He is the resort mixologist at the Casino del Sol. Our good friend, Aaron DeFeo, is in the house, everybody. Doc, what's happening, brother?
Thanks a lot for bringing me on, Matt. Just surrounded with so many awesome-looking things here. The cocktails, the food,
it's incredible.
Yeah,
and the guests. We've got some awesome-looking guests here. Are you kidding
me? Awesome-looking guests as well.
I'm telling you. All right, so you know, we're talking about cocktails. I'm actually starting the broadcast with something called the Tokyo City Ice Water, Matt Martinez's unique twist on the old Kansas City Ice Water. Beautiful, crisp, cool, refreshing, lovely for a 98-degree afternoon, right?
Oh, absolutely. And Matt was just kind of telling me how he makes this here, and it's a fantastic process. This is actually a kegged cocktail, which is one of the cooler things that we're seeing happening in the cocktail movement. And it's fantastic. It's so refreshing and beautifully presented. It comes in a little kind of like a little bottle carafe service, and you pour it over ice yourself, and it's got a really awesome pineapple leaf garnish.
It's so much fun. Yeah, if you want to learn more about this cocktail, actually pick up a copy of the current issue of Inside Tucson Business or go to azbiz.com, because I had the unique privilege of interviewing Matt Martinez about this cocktail. And I also interviewed you, Aaron DeFeo, about your Oaxacan ice water over there at the Tequila Factory at the Casino del Sol.
Yep. So
much fun.
It may be a little bit more simple than what Matt's doing here, but I think you know, the premise is the same. We live in Tucson. It's extremely hot. Let's refresh people. Let's give them that, like you said, that instant air conditioning. That, you know,
exactly.
And I think that's what these type of cocktails do. And I think anyone who's making cocktails here in Tucson that doesn't have some sort of style of cocktail similar to this is probably doing themselves a disservice.
A huge disservice. Yeah. That's right. Follow the lead. Matt Martinez, wherever Matt takes me, I'm going to go, man. That's the way I roll. Well, listen to this. I started bartending about 30 years ago here in Southern Arizona at the Bum Steer. I met my beautiful bride there while behind the bar, and it was rum and coke, and it was vodka tonic. And, you know, mixology back in the late 80s was a Long Island iced tea. I mean, that really brought out all the skills for a bartender. We've come a long way in the cocktail culture here in Southern Arizona since 1989.
I would say so. I mean, to get here on this show, I just left a cocktail event I was doing poolside with, you know, a couple hundred people. And that's the kind of thing that would never have happened, you know, 10, 15 years ago. You just didn't see the attention, or no one really cared about that kind of thing. I mean, you know, we've got the national ambassador from Sailor Jerry here, you know, hanging out in town for a couple of days. Again, these are things that the cocktail culture has, you know, given to us as a city, and hopefully we can live up to it on our end. But I mean, looking at the drinks here at Oban, I think we are living up to that, actually, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, in addition to being the resort mixologist at the Casino del Sol, you're also the local chapter president of the United States Bartenders Guild. So the Tucson cocktail culture is big enough, it's robust enough, to actually claim its own chapter for the USBG.
Yeah, and we're humming along. I mean, it's one of those things, too, that the more community members that want to get involved, the better. We're not exclusive to just bartenders. We accept enthusiast members as well, people who are, like yourself, you know, extraordinary fans of cocktails and the people who make the cocktails. And I think that's what USBG provides, a place to get education, to network. I mean, the competitions that we have for our bartenders that are members, we're sending somebody to Tales of the Cocktail, courtesy of a brand. I mean, it's a really fantastic thing that we do pretty much on a monthly basis.
Love it. You know, there's a lot of people that listen to this show that are not in Arizona. And for someone who's never been to Southern Arizona, when we're really celebrating the promise and the potential of cocktails, how would you define the Southern Arizona cocktail scene?
I think it's always been kind of a DIY thing because we've been isolated. We've been kind of we're down here in Tucson. We don't get quite as much brand love and quite as much traveling, you know, people coming from other cities, metropolitan people that are used to certain things in Los Angeles and New York and Seattle. We're a little more isolated, so we've kind of had to come up on our own and really, you know, take steps to learn on our own, to really seek out, you know, the right way to do things. And I think that we're getting there. I definitely see it more and more over the last 7 years. It's been quite the journey.
Now, what are you drinking? I see an empty glass. That cocktail disappeared pretty darn quickly.
Yes.
What was in that glass? And was Mr. Martinez behind that excellence?
No. Well, maybe he was.
I made it myself.
He made it himself.
Let's bring him on here. Without further ado, the man behind the myth here, the bar manager at Oban, our good friend Matt Martinez. Man, always good to see you.
Good to see you, Matt.
I love this cocktail, brother.
Thank
Seriously.
You so much. I appreciate it.
Now, everyone wants to know, what was Aaron drinking?
Okay.
When Aaron DeFeo waltzes in this place, I mean, I feel like everybody has to rise.
Can you?
But
can
what
you,
cocktail does he go with to start the show?
Is there a way to put a drum roll in?
Yeah.
No?
Wait a minute. Chuck back in the studio. He's frantically looking for a drum roll sound file.
No,
not a luck. Okay, no worries.
Okay.
All right.
That's fine. He was drinking a delicious iced green tea.
An iced green tea. Aaron DeFeo. Wow. Little hydration.
Yep.
Sorry to put you on the spot there. Ain't no liquor in that one, huh?
It was a hot day by the pool today, Matt. I'm not going to lie.
So anyway, we're going to be talking to you, Matt, a little bit later on in the show about this sort of world-class cocktail menu that you guys just rolled out at Oban. How long ago did you launch this cocktail menu here in town?
About 4 weeks. I think it'll be 4 weeks on Monday.
Yeah, and so this is a place, as we said at the top of the show, that takes its cocktail program just as seriously as the cuisine that Chef Paulo M is overseeing.
Yeah, there's been a ton of collaboration between the bar and the kitchen, and I think we sort of build on each other's enthusiasm. So we've been able to be successful as a result of each other, but we take it seriously, but not too seriously.
But not too seriously, yeah. Right. I would imagine the Tokyo City ice water is the top seller, especially as we're flirting with 100 degrees.
It's up there. I haven't looked at the numbers recently, but it's one of our highest selling cocktails for sure.
I love it. Well, we're going to get to know you a little bit better. We're going to talk about how you guys take a look at the cocktail. We're actually going to be speaking with your assistant bar manager, the lovely Marley Palmer is in the house. She's going to be talking about sort of the role of women in mixology, you know, in a kind of an environment traditionally dominated by men. We want to get her insights on that. And then we're actually going to be talking about building and maintaining a cocktail scene in Tucson and maybe talk about some of the struggles that we've all experienced along the way. But anyway, I can think of no better place to celebrate the essence of the spirit of cocktail than at Oban. Matt, thanks so much for hosting this part of the day.
Thank you so much.
We're going to take a quick commercial break with that couple of sponsors. And when we come back, she has taken a seat from behind the bar. Her name is Marley Palmer, and she's going to be joining us next. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around.
Hey, fellow foodies, it's a brand new year, and I'm throwing down a challenge. The time has come for each and every one of you to do what I did years ago and liberate your pantries once and for all from those old jugs of oil and vinegar that you got from the big box grocery store. I'm Matt Russell, and I say enough is enough. It's time to make a fresh start for your family's health and choose only the freshest extra virgin olive oil and specially aged balsamic vinegars that can only be found at Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics. Take it from the palate of a pro. Tom Alfonso is one of only a handful of certified olive oil tasters in the country, and his highly trained staff is ready to show you what you've been missing by pouring you some free samples today. Enjoy single varietal, fused, and infused olive oils, along with suggestions for pairing them with the perfect balsamic vinegars. Stop in today at one of their two convenient locations, on the southeast corner of River and Campbell in St. Philip's Plaza, and on the southeast corner of Oracle and McGee in Plaza Escondida. Or check them out online at alfonsooliveoil.com. On behalf of Tom and Nancy Alfonso, here's to your health and happiness all year long.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio.
And welcome back, fellow foodies. You're listening to On the Menu Live. We're broadcasting live deep in the heart of another happy hour here downtown. We are coming to you live from Oban on 4th and Congress, celebrating the wonder of cocktails. Yes, an entire hour dedicated to the vibrant conversation that cocktails represent. And I'm here with my honorable celebrity co-host, the resort mixologist from Casino del Sol, one of the hardest working men in all of the galaxy, Aaron DeFeo, is back with us.
I think that might be a little bit of an overstatement.
But you're Aaron DeFeo, for crying out loud. There's a lot of shaking going on down at the casino, and I love your Sailor Jerry hat, by the way. Wearing that with great pride, I would imagine.
Well, that manage what, 32 bars at the casino?
Also an overstatement, but yeah, it's a pretty big program. But I think that for what I do, I have to manage so many different things, but you really get to focus on this one outlet, and I think it's phenomenal what you've done. I'm so excited to try everything on this menu.
We're going to start at the top and work our way down, and we really need a three-hour show, Aaron. Maybe I'm going to talk to my people, my advertisers, and see if we can put that together. But anyway, we're also back here with the bar manager. I know he'll say that it takes a village, but he's the man behind the wisdom here in the cocktail program. The bar manager here, I'm Matt Martinez. Now, Matt, why don't you introduce? I'm going to just take a step back and stop talking for a moment. Why don't you bring on our next guest?
Fair enough. So the person who actually gave me my first job downtown, the person who hired me, and one of the first people I looked to hire when we opened this place was Marley Palmer. She's definitely the mind behind at least 50% of every menu we do. Her creativity is unmatched.
Wow.
And there she is. That's ambitious.
Welcome aboard, Marley.
Well, I mean, where do we go from that? I mean, I'm blushing. They didn't even say anything about me. Marley Palmer, nice to see you, girl.
Thank you.
So,
nice to see you as well.
Now, I really do appreciate you stepping back from behind the bar. I mean, as we always say about Oban, it's like dinner and a show.
Yeah.
You guys take your cocktails seriously, and it's just as much fun watching you do your work as it is tasting the outcome.
That's the plan, I think. We hope so, sometimes. Sometimes it's not so much fun, but we'll try not to break too easy.
We won't ask you to go into detail on that, Marley Palmer. But anyway, here we are celebrating mixology, and we're also celebrating sort of this evolution and this recognition of the Ms. Mixologists. I mean, women in mixology, a growing community in sort of an atmosphere that has traditionally been defined by males. I mean, have you seen over your years in the business more and more women jumping into the game?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that there are a ton of really talented women that are behind the bar. I don't know necessarily if they're talented, because they're women. I think that they don't consider themselves female bartenders as much as just bartenders.
Mm-hmm. Sure, that's true.
I mean, it's definitely always an issue having people walk into this bar and, sometimes they expect to see Matt or Ryan behind the bar. I don't necessarily think it's because they're men. I think it's because Matt is more handsome than I am and Ryan is more charming than I am. But it is often misconceived to be because of gender.
Stylistically, this style of bartending, the like progressive craft bartending, has been kind of male dominated, but there are a few women in just Tucson and the country worldwide that are really, really leading the way. Some people out of Phoenix, for example, Jillian Bowes is the bar manager of Dead Rabbit in New York.
Oh, right.
Which just got best cocktail bar in the world. But
everywhere. No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
But everywhere they're doing an amazing job, and Marley's no exception.
And just, if I may, I think it's kind of interesting that I think that a lot of people talk about how male-dominated the craft bartending scene is, but the interesting thing about craft bartending is I think it's actually allowed it to be a little bit more of an equal playing field, because gone, I think, now are the days of these bars that just hire, let's just hire a hot chick and throw her behind the bar,
right.
or let's just hire a bunch of good-looking dudes. I think that philosophy is fading away, and good on it to be gone, and I think that craft bartending is partially responsible for that, but at the same time, yes, it is still a good portion dominated by males. I mean, but as we can see, that's changing, and it's about time. For
I see Marley over here aggressively nodding in affirmation of what Aaron says. I mean, you've seen that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more culinary now as well. There's a lot of great female chefs, and there's, you know, great female artists and musicians, and it's not really any different than that. You know, it's becoming to be more of an art form, right, as opposed to, you know, people just slinging out drinks.
Right.
You know.
When did you get started in this biz?
Oh God, time. I don't even know what day it is.
time.
A few years ago.
Yeah.
I was managing the floor at 47 Scott, so I got to become really familiar with a lot of amazing bartenders there. You know, back in the days of Kieran and Carl and. I got to learn from a lot of awesome people, you know. It's kind of where Brian emerged and, you know, John Holcomb from Riley. A lot of people have gone through there. But in doing that, I got to get really familiar with just the whole program and the style of things, and it was really interesting to me. So at some point, I kind of was more interested in that than in the whole floor management aspect.
Right.
So I took a step back to become more involved in the creative side of things.
Yeah. Now, what would you say for someone listening now that has always wanted to get into the world of mixology, that has really dreamt about it, has a passion for it, shares our passion for the cocktail? Any advice for someone who's just playing around with the idea of getting into the business?
I mean, I think the thing that always interested me the most was going into a kitchen or into, you know, down a food aisle and finding weird stuff that I thought I could throw into a drink and seeing what I could do with it. I think that there's some fun ways to play around at home to see what you can do, and if it's something that really interests you, then you should just go out there and, you know, start trying.
Love it. What's the one cocktail on the new cocktail menu that you believe is a living expression of the Marley Palmer brand? I mean, when I order this beverage, I am taking in Marley Palmer. What's the cocktail?
Umami.
You know, I was going to go with Umami, but
good
that
answer.
Is a little bit more of the Paulo Im brand, I have to say. I kind of just stole, like, all of his best sauces and creations and threw them together into something that is delicious. But the Day Tripper, I guess, which you're all going to taste in a little bit, it's probably a good one to highlight.
Yeah, great.
Because it does have some weird components and things that, I don't know. I feel like I often find ingredients that I get dead set that I really want to use in a drink, and the first 10 times that we try something, it doesn't work, and sometimes Matt is ready to give up on them. And I have to keep trying and pressuring him to keep trying. I swear we'll find one. And then eventually him and I end up finding, like, the perfect combination. So that's a good example.
We're really looking forward to continuing the celebration of the cocktail sphere here, trying a little bit more about what you guys have shaking behind the bar. We do have to take a quick commercial break and thank another one of our valued sponsors. But when we come back, I'm going to get a sense of what Aaron and Matt and Marley think about what it takes to build a cocktail environment that's one that's taken seriously. And how does Tucson stack up against other markets of sort of similar size with respect to their cocktail culture? Sound like a great conversation. Let's do it. We're going to take another quick commercial break. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Why such a loud slurp, my friend?
Well, I read on a recent article on TucsonFoodie.com 8 spots for Japanese ramen in Tucson that is customary.
What? No way.
Way. Not only that, but I found a great Tucson Foodie article about some of the best Tucson hotspots for happy hour, a guide to the growing number of restaurants in downtown Tucson, a roundup of killer spots for burgers, and a number of new restaurants to check out. Tucson Foodie also just won a Best of Award from the Tucson Weekly's 2014 competition.
That's insane.
What? That they won an award?
No, that slurping ramen is customary. I'm going to have to check out Tucson Foodie to see for myself. Where can I find it?
They're all over. Check them out on the web at TucsonFoodie.com, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, and Tumblr. They also have a great weekly email newsletter, which you can sign up for at TucsonFoodie.com. Just look for the bright red logo.
I'm on it.
Great. Now, excuse me, I have a bowl of ramen to finish.
Hi, it's Matt Russell, and I know you're hungry because you're listening to this show, so it must be time to treat yourself to Tino's. Tino's Pizza, that is. Family-owned and operated for more than 30 years, Tino's serves up hand-tossed pizzas from scratch every single day, along with salads, wings, and oven-toasted sandwiches that will satisfy any appetite. and Tino's lineup of craft beers and premium wines will pair perfectly with any of their pizzas, like my favorite, the Dimitri Special. Pizza is a family affair, and Tino's invites you and yours to come in and experience the difference that local makes in a setting that's just right for any occasion. Isn't it time for Tino's? Tino's Pizza, open daily at 6610 East Tancaverde Road, just across the street from Trail Dust Town. And don't forget to download some money-saving coupons at tinospizza.com.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
And welcome back, fellow foodies. We're broadcasting live from Oban in the corner of 4th and Congress, celebrating the wonder that is the cocktail. And speaking of cocktails, we are smack dab in the middle of another happy hour here, going all the way up to 6 o'clock. We got steam buns. We got shrimp and pork shumai, spring rolls. We got all kinds of great happy hour sushi, spicy salmon, shrimp tempura, rainbow, the salmon nigiri. We got all kinds of great stuff. But we are here celebrating cocktails in all of their magnificence. And again, you can't talk about magnificence without talking about the resort mixologist from the Casino del Sol. This guy has more fun under the sun. Aaron DeFeo. I mean, right?
Too much fun under the sun today. I'm going to be a lobster tomorrow.
All right. We're also back here with the bar manager at Oban, Matt Martinez, and his bar assistant manager, Marley Palmer, having a great time. Thanks so much, guys, for hosting this broadcast.
Thank you.
You know, we heard Aaron talk a little bit about where we are culturally with respect to the cocktail scene here in Tucson. I talked about my first role in the biz as a bartender almost 30 years ago at the Bum Steer, and now you fast forward to 2016, and it really is sort of, you know, exciting to see how far we've come. And I think our listeners might be, you know, interested in, you know, those things just don't happen overnight. Those things don't happen in a vacuum or isolation. And I'm sure that it wasn't an easy pathway to get from point A to point B. I mean, have you seen, you know, some sort of struggles, Matt Martinez, along the way in terms of building what now, I think, talk to Brandon Katz, he'll tell you that because of people like you and Aaron and Marley, Tucson is really now on the national cocktail map.
I've mostly seen all the struggles through watching our local chapter USBG president and his assistant struggle through growing membership, keeping membership, making sure people care, representing themselves well, and then also not worrying too much about being in the shadow of the much bigger brother Phoenix.
Now you're actually, you just got a hug from a fan right there. I don't, I mean, you can't script this, and you're getting another hug.
Say hi, Isaac.
Hi.
Oh, Isaac is saying hi. Now, Isaac, an equal opportunity hugger, work your way around the table, dude. I mean, I'm just saying. Anyway, as we were saying.
A little of the growth of this community has landed on my shoulders, and most, if not all of it, has landed on Aaron's and Mike McGill. And I was extremely fortunate to have them in my formidable years, not that I've been in this business for very long, but having their support and seeing their own successes has definitely propelled me to where I am now, and it continues to propel me.
Aaron, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, there are struggles. I mean, being a smaller market, it's always an uphill battle for us. I'd say if I was to be as most pessimistic, I would say that we still have a long way to go. But at the same time, like, sitting in this restaurant, seeing what these bartenders have come up with and what this restaurant, the combination of the food and the drinks, I mean, this is a testament to what we're building as a community. And if you take a walk downtown, outside of these doors, there's at least five or six other establishments that are doing fantastic things as well.
Right.
And that's a great nucleus to build on. But overall, in terms of the entire community, from top to bottom, in every section of this town, I don't think that we're where we want to be, I think, or where we expect it to be. I thought, when I started seeing cocktails growing maybe 5 years ago, I thought, in 5 years from now, there'll be a cocktail bar in every neighborhood. Everyone's going to be doing cocktails. But it's actually been kind of crazy to see how many longtime Tucson institutions still do not do cocktails, still do not have that attention to detail and the quality and the great ingredients that you would expect to see in an emerging market like we are.
I wonder why that is. I mean, because expectation is the word. You nailed it. And don't you think that there is this growing expectation when you're going to go into a restaurant that you're going to have a great cocktail program? You think it's by design? You think some of these these other restaurants just don't want to make the investments in a cocktail program?
Yeah, I mean, I can't really speculate entirely on what the motives are for that change not happening, but I think we're getting there. It's just taking longer. I think Tucson likes to take its time with things. And
I think also our more permanent residents represent a time of drinking that was pre-cocktail revolution.
Yeah, right.
So the culture's not quite there, and the demand isn't there necessarily.
Yep, but I would agree the demand is a big issue.
What about you, Marley? I mean, have you noticed sort of increased sophistication among your clientele? I mean, people come into Oban, you're greeting guests that already know what a great cocktail experience should really be like.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, it's a pretty interesting mix of people, actually, that come in here. We do have a lot of people that come in and recognize, you know, that we are a cocktail bar. People who have followed us from place to place. People who, you know, are familiar with the other places around and maybe have heard our names or talked to us before at another establishment just drinking behind the bar. But there's a lot of people that still come in that don't, you know. There's a lot of people that have no idea where to begin with our cocktail menu. I think a lot of people that come in here and don't order cocktails are intimidated because they don't even understand it. We are, you know, right across from Hi-Fi, and, you know, that still does a ton of just mixed drinks is how they make, you know, all of their money. We get a lot of drift over from places like that, or, you know, Congress gets most of their business, I think, that way too, beer and shots.
Well, there's one thing that we want to make sure that our listeners understand is, and we'll be talking about this a little bit later on in the show, when you're thinking about a sushi restaurant that does sushi quite well, it's more than just the Sake Bomber. No disrespect to the Sake Bomber, right? We love great sake, we love great beer, but really think about what a cocktail experience can contribute to a great sort of Asian-inspired meal, and we're going to be putting that claim to the test a little bit later on. Anyway, Marley, thanks so much for hanging out with us. Aaron, always great to see you. Matt, we're going to take another quick commercial break. Here's some news, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about food and beverage pairings and talk about some of the celebrities that I actually see here in the house. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey there, fellow foodies. Matt Russell here, and I say that nothing makes a culinary and cocktail experience more legendary than a premium cigar. And Jerry's Cigars has everything for the Tucson cigar enthusiast. With more than 70,000 cigars in stock, Jerry's has a cigar for every taste and size, including rare and hard-to-find cigars, alongside an impressive showcase of lighters and cutters, humidors, and other accessories. Swing by Jerry's for some sticks to go, or fire one up in the climate-controlled comfort of Jerry's Cigar Lounge. Jerry's Cigars, the official tobacconist of On the Menu Live. Come see him today at 4433 North 1st Avenue, just north of Wetmore Road. Or give them a call at 887-7778. That's 887-7778. Now that summer is officially within sight, the good guys at Red's Smokehouse and Tap Room in Main Gate Square will be turning up the heat for a summer barbecue bash on May 21st. This smoking hot event runs from 4 to 8 p.m. with ice-cold local craft beers from Dragoon Brewing Company, custom cocktails featuring Tucson's own Whiskey Del Bac, and a parade of locally raised pigs, courtesy of E&R Pork. Choose the whole hog plate with all the fixings for only $15, or do what I do and go all the way with all-you-can-eat hog for only $22. How will I be preparing for another summer in Tucson? With pigs, whiskey, and beer, of course. It's the Summer Barbecue Bash on May 21st at Red's Smokehouse and Tap Room, 943 East University Boulevard. I'll see you there.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. We are having a great time on this cocktail forward show here at Oban, on the corner of 4th and Congress, right in the sort of historic east end of downtown Tucson. Again, it's happy hour going all the way up to 6 o'clock and a late night happy hour. Returning, greeting you from midnight to close. All kinds of great food and drink specials here at Oban. The party is just getting underway, so come on and join us. We've got a celebrity round table, as it were. We have Matt Martinez and Marley Palmer from Oban. We have Aaron DeFeo from Casino del Sol. We also have, now I sort of had to scratch my eyes a little bit to make sure I wasn't hallucinating. There, sort of towards the back of the house, I saw Chef Daniel Thomas, who I've known for a long time. And Chef Daniel Thomas looks like he's working here. Matt.
He is.
And it's my understanding that Chef Daniel Thomas and Chef Paulo M. are sort of collaborating on a new concept.
They are.
That is going to be opening up in the fall of this year up at Casas de Novas Plaza.
In fact, also true.
We're like breaking news here, Matt Martinez.
Yeah, they're...
That's all I know.
I'm not sure what else I can say, but yeah, they're building a new concept. Keyword is Southern Table.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that Daniel did very successfully at his previous restaurant. He's going to be given carte blanche to develop a menu based on what he does best, and that's
exciting news. Really is exciting. Paulo and Daniel getting together doing fun stuff. I mean, I'm in.
Yeah, I went to high school with Daniel, by the way, so I've known him for a long time.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Where'd
small
you go?
World.
Where'd you go?
Marana High School.
What year?
Go Tigers. 07.
07. I'm doing the math now. Yep. Yeah, you're old enough to drink. Okay. Anyway, you know, I want to also take a quick moment to thank all of our sponsors, without whom this show simply would not be coming to you live every Saturday. Without the spirited contributions and energy from all of our sponsors, we would not be able to do this show at all. Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, Gourmet Air, Jerry's Cigars, Tino's Pizza, Tucson Foodie, the Tucson Originals, and Russell Public Communications. Thank you so much for all of your help. Support these local businesses. They count on you, and I count on them, so it's a great relationship. Anyway, we're back here talking cocktails. Now, when we're thinking about beverages, now, Aaron DeFeo, I remember when you guys did this bourbon dinner out at the PY Steakhouse. I've been to tequila dinners. I've been to wine dinners, of course, beer dinners. And then I got to thinking, is it possible to pair a cocktail with a dish, with cuisine? Does that work? Do they play well together? And I asked Matt that question a few days ago, and he said it sort of depends, because when you think about it, a cocktail should live and breathe and exist on its own, almost as a dish in and of itself.
I guess the big thing for me is most often pairings, classic pairings, wine, beer, they tend to bring to the dish the thing that the dish is missing. Some acidity, some tannins, or vice versa. The dish might have a substantial amount of fat that's going to help tame the tannins and allow the wine to travel across your palate more smoothly. But when I build a cocktail, I try to make it an entirely balanced presentation in and of itself. So if I make a cocktail that's supposed to pair with food, I might be trying to make something that's imbalanced in a way that would positively affect the experience.
Yeah, I agree, and I think there's a couple different ways you can approach that, Matt. One of the ways you can approach it is you could do what Matt said, Matt Martinez said, which is to identify that element that the dish is missing and try to provide that with a cocktail. For instance, you could do a very dry daiquiri or something similar, a dry sidecar that could provide an acidic element to cut through a really fatty dish or something like that. But one cool thing that cocktails do have as an advantage over wine and also beer is that you can really put any kind of flavors into cocktails that you want. So as Matt said, it is everyone's goal to create that cocktail that's a standalone entity. And you should still probably do that, but if you can find a way to incorporate some of those either complementary flavors or similar flavors in between the cocktail and the dish, I think that's kind of the route that you have to go, unless you're going to do something that's very integral. I mean, you could actually make the cocktail a part of the dish, and this is something I've seen too in lots of different pairings where it legitimately is part of that actual presentation. You know, maybe it's in a carafe, maybe it's being served, and maybe part of the cocktail or part of the food kind of goes along with it.
I know one of Marley's deepest fascinations is food booze.
I want to make alcoholic soup.
Making a double.
two of my favorite things. Might as well put them together.
Now, are you and Paulo in the Libation Laboratory, as it were, putting together ideas for an alcoholic soup?
Not yet. I just am stealing his soups, his ingredients for soup, and I turned them into a michelada that is basically an
fantastic
alcoholic soup.
Yeah. I had one the other evening. It's incredible.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think maybe those Asian, I think one of the cool things, a lot of the Asian influences, the sakes, the different distilled spirits that you have on the shelf, a lot of those have some interesting new elements that we can bring to the table, I think, you know, from a cocktail perspective and a food perspective. They may pair better with food than some of our classic spirits, things like scotch that we would really kind of almost enjoy
neat or on its own.
Right.
You know, these are meant to be, right? I'm not wrong about this. They're kind of almost developed to be part of the ritual of eating and drinking, mm-hmm. and they're not so much developed to be there on their own. So,
yeah, there's a lot of flavors that exist in spirits and Amaro and different categories of booze that just doesn't exist anywhere else, and at least not that stable. I used to be a sushi chef, and I would always joke when I started bartending, well, then I'm basically doing the same job, but my product doesn't go bad, and when people get sick, it's their fault.
Well, you know, before we do a little food pairing segment here, and I'm taking pictures, all of these photos are going to be up on our Facebook page. And if you're not following or liking On the Menu Live, we are on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. And that is our Gastronomic Gallery of Goodness on Instagram. You need to be doing that because your mouths are watering. You will be heading as quickly as you possibly can down to Oban. Before we do the food segment, let's talk a little bit about your experiences at the Arizona Cocktail Week last year. There was something called Last Slinger Standing. And you repped Southern Arizona pretty well, as I understand, Matt Martinez. There was a lot of buzz around what you were kicking out.
Well, I was the last member of the Arizona team standing. However, I was still one of three members who made it to the second round. That was one of the single most stressful things I've ever done in my entire life.
I think it, you know, this was my first year being actually involved as a part of Arizona Cocktail Week officially. Years past, I've just been a spectator and also a competitor as well as Matt. And I can attest that when I competed, it was one of the most stressful things. I think it is one of the single most difficult competitions in the United States and one of the most exciting ones, especially from a spectator perspective, because most competitions, I'll be really honest with you, are super boring to watch. If you're a guest and you just, let's go to the competition, unless you've got a great beverage in your hand, ain't a lot going on for you. But Last Slinger Standing, the atmosphere, just the crowd, people just get so juiced watching the competitors.
So it's a little bit like Chopped, but with alcohol. And it's timed, and
love it.
There's huge TVs where your faces are being broadcast to the crowd. There's something like 500 people who RSVP'd to this last one. It's loud. We have celebrity judges. It's super intimidating.
Almost like the Iron Chef kind of
style. Every round we do a reveal of ingredients, and then towards the end rounds we add a specific technique or style into the mix too to just throw them off a little bit. And you know, and they don't have any real clue what's going to be on that back bar. They know all of the regular stuff. They know there's going to be the same syrups and the same, you know, it's going to be citrus. There's going to be berries and herbs and stuff, but what the combinations they get, I mean, they can be, I think the last final round was a Guinness and a smoking gun and also it was pretty crazy.
You know, I've interviewed a lot of Iron Chefs across the country, and you know, they all kind of have these sort of master chefs that they look up to. And I was always curious, and this might be a good question for Marley, you know, when you're talking about chefs, sort of new generation chefs that say, well, you know, this is the chef that sort of has mentored me, or this is the chef that I've looked up to. Does that same kind of idea exist in mixology? I mean, are there nationally known mixologists that you look up to or respect or try to emulate? Are we not quite there yet?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's one that I don't know if I'm the best person to answer. I don't.
Because you're just going to say you look up to Matt Martinez, and that's the obvious answer.
Marley's over there looking at me like I'm supposed to say his name.
No. I think those people exist for a lot of people, but I think this culture started a lot with my generation. And one of the symptoms of my generation has been people wanting to skip the work to become the boss. So a lot of people aren't looking for the mentors, and a lot of mentors have maybe lost patience with having people to mentor. I don't know.
Absolutely. You know, and I think too, now maybe in Tucson there's a lot more bartenders. Like we talked earlier about the influence of Scott & Co. and you know, Marley coming up through there and you coming up through there. And I think there are people that you guys look to, you know, there was that mentor-mentee relationship developing. And that comes with the development of a cocktail culture. But when I was getting into this, there were no cocktail mentors. So, yeah, I do have some national mentors, only out of necessity, really, because they were the only ones I could look to. There was no one locally doing anything like what we're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're forced to look outwards. But I think now with a more solid bedrock of cocktail expertise in the town, I think we can start to see more of those local mentorships kind of developing.
Love it.
And then Matt's right. Yeah, there is definitely a school of people who are, you know, really young and have not been, you know, maybe didn't ever get any coaching, and they already want to be the boss, and they already want to run a cocktail program, and, you know, luckily some people just are excellent bartenders innately, like, you know, and Matt is one of them that, you know, he's not been in the industry that long, and Marley, but they've really, you know, put their, you know, the foot on the pedal, and they're just accelerating past so many other people in the city.
I'm going to ask one question to all of you. We're going to start with Marley Palmer, and this is not in the script, so you're unprepared. But what do you think is sort of the next big thing on the cocktail landscape? I mean, you know, we've seen molecular mixology. We've seen, you know, foam had a big day once in cocktails. We've seen all kinds of interesting trends. Some have sort of, you know, have found root and have stayed. Others have been fads. What do you think is the sort of the next big thing to happen in the world of cocktails?
I mean, it's tough to predict, I guess. But, you know, as Aaron was talking about earlier, the pairing of cocktail with food and doing that as one sort of, like, unit, I think that's something that's starting to emerge right now and that you still aren't seeing in that many places. So I would say that's probably going to end up being a big thing. That's something that I think
I'd be all over that.
You know, it's going to interest foodies as well as drinkers.
Exactly.
And it's going to be, I don't know, it's just more things to taste. I feel like people want to taste as many things as possible at once. So
yeah, good point. I'm all in on that.
I could see that being a big thing for sure.
What say you, Aaron DeFeo?
I mean, I agree that's something I've been looking at. I'm waiting for that to kind of explode for a long time. I still think there's going to be a return to the basics in a lot of ways. I think, you know, we've extended ourselves quite a bit. You talked about foams. You talked about molecular mixology. It was all out there. We are starting to kind of rein it back in and maybe a little bit more attention to detail. And what I've seen a lot of is more focus on speed of service and trying to execute things more quickly, because with all the development of these great cocktails has also come wait times and impatient guests.
Right.
And that's something that as an industry I think we're going to fight back against.
What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I think so. We talked a little bit about the cultural divide, the demand for craft cocktails. I think as we move forward, we're going to see more bars do a sort of a hybrid. We're going to have dive bars that make good old fashions.
I love that.
And restaurants with just more conscious bar programs in general. No one's going to be pandering. I think things will make the sense for the concept. But in general, I think having something for everyone, but making sure that everything is good in its individual departments.
So there is a day where I will walk into the buffet and order a proper Negroni, and I will get...
No.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm gonna have to say no, Matt. I'm going to have to say that.
No.
All right.
That's not
good. I want to remind all of our listeners that we're going to be doing a trivia question here coming up a little bit later on in the show. The first person to send us a note with the right answer is going to get an Oban gift card to experience Oban for yourself, so stick around for that. We've got some food to try here, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
What do we got going on here?
We have Chef Paloim's jalapeno albacore, some ponzu, chive oil, fresh albacore jalapeno. We're pairing that with a Manabito Ginjo. This is a sake that's slightly sweet, floral, should stand up against the acidity and spice very well. And then we have a tatakimaki. It's one of my favorite rolls on the menu. There's a little bit of everything on there. It's fresh. It's crunchy. There's some really tasty fried stuff in there.
Fried stuff.
We're going to pair that against the Day Tripper. That'll be up in just a second.
Sign me up.
Great. Okay, while we're waiting for the cocktails to come, so how many cocktails did you and Marley put on this new cocktail menu that just launched?
Well, we probably conceptualized 50, and we narrowed it down to 6.5, we'll call it. We have a large format cocktail that's essentially one of our cocktails built 3 times, but the presentation is just way over the top.
Mm, love it. And so what do you think about, Marley, when you're putting a cocktail menu? I mean, you're basically starting with a blank slate. When you're thinking, I want to roll out a great cocktail menu, do something that works with the concept but also introduces people to some things that they might not have ever seen in a glass, were there obvious directions that you chose to go in? Were there obvious selections that you wanted to stay away from when you're producing that list of top 8?
No, not really. It's kind of a little bit, at least for me, more inspired. I'll find myself out somewhere at a restaurant or at a bar or sleeping, and I'll wake up and be like, oh, my God, I really want to use that in a drink.
Right.
A lot of it honestly happens here. We have a really awesome... We have awesome surroundings. I mean, everything that we have in this kitchen is amazing, and we have so many cool products to go through. And I think, especially for this menu, one of the things that I really was interested in was using a lot of the byproduct from the kitchen that doesn't get utilized, or that, you know, I mean, you spend so much time making certain things, and then the, you know, the juice from it or something gets thrown away.
And she has food booze again.
Yes.
Perfect way to use it, yeah.
That's the I want my umami, the Oban Michelada. That's all Marley right there. She's wanted to do it since we opened. But
and that's the one that's garnished with literally a California roll.
A spicy California roll.
I love that.
And also serve with a shot of soju, which is
with a shot of soju.
And that's another thing I've seen here too, is it seems like you guys pair a lot of booze with booze. You're like, hey, have this booze with this accompanying booze, which as a formidable drinker myself, I can tell you I'm appreciative.
Thank you for your honesty. Yeah. Anyway, the time has come to see if one of our listeners wants to have a shot at guessing the answer to our trivia question. The email address that you are going to be sending your guesses to is onthemenulive@gmail.com. Again, onthemenulive@gmail.com. First person in with the right answer is going to get a gift card. Matt, have you thought about a fun question to ask our listeners today?
Yes. Can you tell me the difference between Nigori sake and not Nigori sake?
Okay, great question.
Nigori and Nigiri.
What is the difference between Nigori sake and non-Nigori sake? First person in with the right answer is going to get an Oban gift card. Again, onthemenulive@gmail.com. We're going to take another quick commercial break, thank a couple of sponsors, and when we come back, we're going to be doing a little food, booze talk, taste of some cocktails, have some great sushi, and wrap up our cocktail-driven show live from Oban on the corner of 4th and Congress. Thanks so much for listening to On the Menu Live. We're on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around.
The Tucson Originals Restaurants is a dynamic group of independently owned, fine dining, casual, and neighborhood restaurants. Since 1999, Tucson Originals Restaurants have been working together to preserve and promote the unique culinary spirit of Tucson. This alliance has helped many of Tucson's signature restaurants thrive and become icons in the Tucson dining scene. Tucson Originals provides support to member restaurants to ensure locally owned restaurants continue to offer wonderful and diverse dining experiences right here in Tucson. Tucson Originals connects Tucsonans with the local food community in interesting and interactive ways, including fundraising for local charities and food demonstrations at local events. Check out their website at TucsonOriginals.com for the latest in local dining action and amazing dining deals throughout the year. And follow them on Facebook and Twitter at Tucson Originals. Whether you're a local restaurant owner or just love good food, check out Tucson Originals restaurants and be a part of something delicious.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. We're having a great cocktail show here at Oban on the corner of 4th and Congress. Yes, happy hour is 8 minutes away from saying goodbye, but the party still continues and happy hour begins again. At midnight, we're here with Matt Martinez and Marley Palmer from Oban and Aaron DeVeo from Casino del Sol celebrating cocktails and all of their extravagance. Again, the trivia question of the week is there's all kind of sakes out there. We want to know the difference between a Nigori sake and a non-Nigori sake. On the menu live at gmail.com. First person in will get a gift card to experience Oban. So, and then the food arrived. So this is an example of what you were talking about. Intentionally produced dish, intentionally produced cocktail that really work beautifully together as part of the same experience.
Yes. So the Day Tripper incorporates some interesting ingredients. We took another byproduct. We pickle Asian pear with a dashi and some vinegar, and the byproduct ends up tasting like pear, but also having some unique like savory and acidic qualities. And then we infuse that with bonito flake, which is dried, smoked, preserved bonito fish. Mm. So you have a lot of savory and kind of funky up against some awesome spirits. We have a Zuña Blanco tequila, some nice grassiness, lemon juice with all the acidity you need. And it kind of makes it intrinsically a good food pairing. But the kicker is on the rim, you have salt mixed with Szechuan peppercorns that have been powdered.
You're kidding me.
And Szechuan peppercorns are unique in that they do make your mouth buzz, but they also give you what's been called flavor tripping, hence day tripper. Some sweet things taste a little bit salty or acidic. Some acidic things taste sweet. And it really just opens the door for an interesting eating experience.
Now you say around the rim, you know, people know what a rimmed cocktail is. You darn near looks like you place this glass in a bag and shaking it aggressively.
Shake and bake.
All right, shake and bake. So, Aaron, I love to hear you talk about cocktails. Will you have you ever had this cocktail before?
I actually have not.
Oh, this is great. Oh, this is happening real time. Take a tug of that bad boy and share your observations. So he's going in on the nose right away, pulling out that fragrance, because, again, the cocktail is a mind-body experience, and he's going right on, again, for his third inhalation, getting a little bit of that dust around the end, not taking a big sip, just a little bit, to, as Matt Martinez talked, just to get the mouth buzzing a little bit. Aaron DeFeo, what's saying?
Oh, well, it's incredibly balanced. I mean, that's the first thing that we look for in a good cocktail. It's got to be balanced. All the elements that need to be working in harmony. I definitely get the spirit, which is absolutely essential in a cocktail. Just a great balance between, and for as much acidity as I would expect from the pear, and also from like the shrub, and also the lemon. Like, for as much acidity as probably is in there, it's not overpowering.
It's not overpowering. So there's the balance. I say salt and Szechuan peppercorn.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's that salt Szechuan combination, but I love it.
It's hanging. It's just sort of, it continues to give.
Yeah.
And you're a giver. I mean, let's just be honest.
There's definitely that background of savory, but it's not overpowering. It's
now try one of these rolls with that cocktail too, because I wanna see how those play together. Because now if there is that buzz, Matt, I'm getting that buzz. It's still there. I think we'll take one of these in my next dental appointment, right? Just say, no, you can leave the Novocaine. Now, so he's popped that sushi roll into his mouth. He's thinking about what that is doing with the flavor profiles coming out of that day tripper. Aaron, what do you think?
So
that was a big piece, Matt.
In a lot of Szechuan dishes, if you have like water-boiled fish or water-boiled chicken with a ton of Szechuan peppercorns, it tends to be sitting in almost a confit bath. It's just a ton of oil. So this one has a few fatty components that I think just sort of makes sense if you're pairing it against some Szechuan peppercorn.
And just so people at home know, in no way is this a fishy taste.
Right.
I mean, just because there's dried, you know, basically fish in this cocktail, that is not what this cocktail is. It is not built on a backbone of a fishy or you know, fish market. It's so much more complex than that.
Yeah, it's just super fresh.
Yeah,
it really is
that umami, you know, umami taste. So
we have time for one more tasting here. Mm-hmm. So now, what do we have going on here? This is a sake.
This is a sake. Yeah, Manabito Genjo. This is an Akita Prefecture sake. The Hinamaro Brewery utilizes a lot of really interesting aging techniques,
wow,
and that's where they go to develop a lot of their flavors. They're one of my favorite breweries. This sake is lightly sweet on the front, floral, some acidity, but on the back it finishes nice and dry. Up against this plate, which is really delicate with some spice, I think the sweetness helps, and the florality helps. I mean, if you look at the plate, it's beautiful. It looks like a flower.
Gorgeous. And just that beautiful, the heat from the pepper just plays beautifully, and the coolness from that sake, there's that great interplay. You guys take your sake seriously here, too. And I love what sake is for a pairing. I mean, because there are no limits when it comes to pairing sushi and sake.
Sake is one of the most diverse categories I've ever had the pleasure of exploring. It really runs the entire gamut. There's every flavor available, and it's a natural pairing for so many different foods. We've recently started playing with serving sakis hot and cold, warm. When the common when people most likely associate warm sake with cheap sake, so much actually benefits from being warm. Some And that's something we're starting to play with on our next menu, probably, when we get into the cooler season.
And speaking of celebrities, you know, another one just walked by. Jared McKinley, right? I mean, he's a regular fixture here. He is On the Menu Live's official resident botanist in chief. I never write a story about botany without consulting my good friend, the Honorable Jared McKinley. Anyway, love you, Jared.
He actually just walked up to me before we started the show to show me a indigenous Szechuan plant.
Of course he did.
Yeah. So we're hopefully going to be incorporating that.
Anyway, the time has come, unfortunately, for us to say goodbye, but Matt Martinez and Marley Palmer from Oban, thank you so much for everything you do to keep us libated. We all celebrate you and everything you've done here at Oban, and want to remind everybody, come on down to Oban. Experience Matt and Marley for yourselves. And try these great cocktails, because these are intentionally produced cocktails that work. Some of them work beautifully with dishes. Some of them completely on their own. But thank you so much for hosting us.
Thank you.
And Aaron DeFeo from the Casino del Sol, something tells me you got to get back to work, man.
I actually do.
Aaron never sleeps. Anyway, thanks so much. Always
can we get another sponsor? Can we just extend?
If anyone wants to buy another hour of the show, send me an email. Anyway, thanks so much. Well, if you missed any part of the show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on our website, onthemenulive.com, early next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell and Aaron DeFeo reminding you, if it's Saturday at 5, it is On the Menu Live. Cheers. We'll see you at O-Box.